Greetings again to all who listen to this broadcast. And today we're going to be talking about the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was very, very much, his emphasis was on the sovereignty of God and the sovereign King, our Lord Jesus Christ. He pointed to he was a messianic prophet too, in that he foretold of the coming Messiah, and it's just really a phenomenal book, one of my favorite books in the Bible, and I think it's also a book of comfort to the elect child of God. I'm just going to go through and look at some of the passages in Isaiah today, and there's no way that we can by any means cover all of the book of Isaiah, but I want to just point out some of the highlights. In the first chapter, the 18th verse says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Okay. There seems to be a contrast in Isaiah's declaration between those who are the wicked and those who are God's children. In the second chapter, he said in the 8th verse, "Their land is also as full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made." And then he admonishes us into the 10th verse, "Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty." Verse 17, "And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols He shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth." And I just love this next verse. It's so descriptive. I've often said that when you're reading Isaiah, you get a picture in your mind. He paints a picture. "In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats." And he also talks about God's people and how they wander from the law of God. In chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them, O my people. They which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." In chapter 6, we see here that a passage we've heard many, many times, in the king that In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Verse 3, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And then he talks to Isaiah and he tells him what Isaiah's message is to be to these people. Isaiah recognized his own depravity, his own unworthiness. He says in the fifth verse, he says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And he tells us what the Lord told him in verse 8. "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And whom will go for me? Then said, Here am I, send me. And, you know, so many times that passage is used out of context that, you know, many people out there in the Arminian persuasion try to make us believe that the gospel is available to all people. And this was not what Isaiah's message was. God told Isaiah, he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." And then said I, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly destroyed." You know, and this is just not as it relates to the Old Testament. We find in the New Testament, in many people have said incorrectly that Christ spoke in parables so people would more clearly understand his message. But that's not what he said. If you go and do a study on that, Christ said that they asked him why he spoke in parables, and he said, "So they would not understand. I spoke that you would understand, but I spoke in parables that they would not understand." And then he also tells us in the 7th chapter the announcement of Christ coming through a virgin. In the 14th verse, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then as we move along in the 8th chapter of Isaiah, there's many times that he uses the word rock, alluding to Christ. And 14th verse says, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken." But then in the 9th verse, he gives a little more positive light. He says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so we see Isaiah telling of the forecoming of Jesus Christ. There's many other passages that talk about God's children, specifically as it relates to God's elect and what God shall do in the hearts of God's elect. In chapter 10, verse 21, it says, "The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God." And this is something I've alluded to earlier in our talks, in our studies, that God causes his elect, even if they're backsliding, he causes them to return unto himself. He goes on to talk about the forthcoming of Christ in the 11th chapter. First verse says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." And then the 10th verse says, in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people to it. Shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Verse 16, and there shall be a highway for a remnant of his people, which shall be left. And he speaks so strongly about who God is in relationship to himself. In the 12th chapter of Isaiah, 2nd verse, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And then he talks about in the 13th chapter what God has declared he will do to a nation that is in rebellion to him. He says in the 11th verse, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Therefore I will shake the heavens, verse 13, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. In chapter 14 of Isaiah, we find the declaration of the fall of Lucifer. And again, Isaiah has such colorful language, such a tremendous gift of writing, and the way he puts words together. Chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst awake the nation, weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. What a colorful description of the demise of Lucifer. And there's also such a understanding of Isaiah of God's sovereignty in everything that he does, in his majesty and in his glory. In chapter 14, verse 26, he says, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Quite an affirmation of the counsel of the Almighty. And then he says in chapter 17, he admonishes the people, because thou hast forgotten the God of, I'm reading in verse 10 of chapter 17, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and thou shalt set it with strange slips. I'm going to kind of skip over now and go over to the second chapter of Isaiah. I found this to be a real interesting. There's so many interesting verses that express the character and nature of God. In the 22nd verse of the 22nd chapter, he says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Now, this reminds me of some passages in the New Testament. One is that if you climb up by some other way, you're a thief and a robber. Another passage says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. This is also dispels the aspect of the free will doctrine. God is the one that opens the door, and God is the one that shuts the door. That's a very strong passage indicating God's sovereignty. In the 26th chapter of Isaiah, 3rd verse says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And then in verse 12 of 26, he says, "Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us." You know, think about that. Thou hast wrought all our works in us. Reminds me of that passage, "Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor?" And also it says in Acts, "As many as were ordained to eternal life believed." In the 28th chapter of Isaiah, we find an interesting passage as well. I've heard this used out of context quite a bit. The 28th chapter, the 10th verse says, "For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And we see in the 13th verse the purpose of that when Isaiah says, "But the word of the Lord..." the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. How often have you heard that exclamation of that that verse? Very, very interesting. In the 29th chapter, the 13th verse, Isaiah says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Verse 15, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us?" And then 23rd verse, he says, "But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of them, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel." And now we're going to look at some of my more favorite, really favorite passages in Isaiah. We know the 40th chapter handles great Messiah, takes many of the scriptures out of the 40th chapter and the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. If you've ever listened to Handel's Messiah, you can really appreciate the Word of God that's in that particular work. The first verse of the 40th chapter, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. By the way, this is speaking to his people. Comfort ye my people. Jerusalem is his elect people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And then he says in the verse 10, Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Verse 11, He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather together the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And then we see his sovereignty and his majesty proclaimed in the 22nd verse. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as of grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Verse 28, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no hope he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then he's very clear in his description of the absolute power and the selective nature of God. In the 8th verse of 41, he says, But thou, Jerusalem, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And verse 14, Fear not thou, worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And then we see in the 43rd chapter, the 7th verse, Everyone that is called by not my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Verse 11, Yet I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Chapter 44, verse 2, Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Verse 6, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who is, as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming, and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time that, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. No, not any. There was a big problem with graven images during the time of Isaiah. And he points that out to them in verse 9. He says that they that make graven images are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or a molten, a graven image that is profitable for nothing? And verse 14, he hewed him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. And then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself, yea, be kindled in it, baketh bread, yea, he maketh a god and worship it, he maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. And he says in verse 19, and none considered in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding, to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, I also have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? And then he says in verse 21, remember thee, O Jacob, Israel, for thou art my servant, I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud any thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And verse 24, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. We see how he also takes Cyrus and uses him to glorify himself. And I'm running out of time here. There's so many passages in here. I feel like I've just... I haven't spent very much time commenting because these are so expressive. They pretty much are self-explanatory, aren't they? He says, thus of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Verse chapter 45, thus the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose his right hand I uphold him, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And I will give ye the treasures of darkness, and the hidden riches of secret places. Thou that mayest know that I, the Lord, which have called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let the righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy works? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou, or to the mother, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord of the Holy One of Israel and the Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my son and concerning the works of my hand. Command me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. And, you know, he's just really proclaiming here the sovereignty of God. Verse 17, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. In verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And then he concludes that chapter in verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. There's election. There's election. Well, we're going to quit for today, and we'll have to continue this study on further. I didn't mean to go quite that long, but there's just so much beauty in Isaiah and the proclamation of God's sovereignty and redemption. Have a good day.